And what you're doing makes it possible for a life to touch another life. And that's the big thing in ministry today. And of course, Elisha talked about that a lot, where you know, when he sent his servant, he went and he touched him and nothing happened. But when the prophet went and he just laid down on that boy, you know, and touched him with his own life, he restored him. And touching someone with a life is possible through what you're doing. And people who don't realize the extent to which they can accomplish that. You know, every now and then I'll look at the stats and see, wow, I had no idea. And sermons being downloaded in countries that we could never go to, not just because of inconvenience, because we'd be imprisoned if we were to go there. And so it is an amazing, amazing opportunity. And I thank you as a preacher for what you're doing for those of us who know that God called us to share this message, but also giving us an opportunity to share our lives. And I won't take a few minutes here because we all have other things that we have to do, but I want to give you a very simple truth, I think, that you know well, but it's in the order of the comments that I've just been making a while ago. When I met with your staff, we were up in Asheville, as I recall, and my daughter Becky was with me, and I look and think back on that, and I think, you know, those were difficult days. I look at some of that, and I think, you know, boy, I was so sad. I was so sad at that time, and I was sad. I was grieving the loss of my wife, Brenda. A very painful time in our lives. And yet the Lord has done some marvelous things. He really has. I want to introduce to you a very special lady who's here with me today. My wife, Carol. Carol Vaughn. The thing so remarkable about that is not only her name, that is my name. John Carol Vaughn is my name. Did you know that? And so, I mean, it really is when you think about it. And so here we are.
Carol and Carol.
The Carol and Carol comedy routine.
I have to add a side note. Thank you, because I think you could say it's sermon audio, the love story. I fell in love with this man. I didn't know very much about him. Believe it or not, I never heard of John Vaughn. And I learned about him through sermon audio.
How about that? Isn't that something?
After we had met, I thought, Do I really trust this man?
And
I heard his sermon.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that precious?
Hours and hours
of
sermons.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, she got acquainted with
me.
Not
really a dating site.
But you know, there's something.
Didn't know.
There really is something to that, because, you know, I wish I had the time today to tie all these threads of joy together, and perhaps other opportunities will present themselves for that. But I wanted to give you just a few quick scriptures and a few quick stories to kind of tie it all together. And I'm rambling on. I thought of an influence in my life that really began at the very beginning of my Christian experience. And I'm going to depend on your memories and awareness of some things that I suspect that you already know about our lives and our ministries. I will just say that the Lord brought the two of us together in some very similar experiences. And it's a joy to be connected to somebody where you can almost read each other's minds. I mean, in the way you think and in the way you respond to things. But I, as a widowed pastor, came into contact with a pastor's widow. And the two of us just meshed and are serving the Lord together. Now, for many, many years, as you know, I pastored Faith Baptist Church, 30 years. Still go to Faith Baptist Church, by the way. But then Brenda, my first wife, was getting very, very sick and needed my care. And right about the time that I was stepping down, our son Daniel was killed. And it was just a time of tragedy and loss. And we thought, well, clearly the Lord is working some sort of a transition. When I stepped down from the pastorate, I accepted a role of responsibility with a large pastor's fellowship. It's changed its name to the Foundations Baptist Fellowship, because the other word, fundamental, has become a pejorative in many circles today. But so the FBFI was my bailiwick for a number of years. And then it was just too overwhelming, too demanding, too much travel, too much pressure. And I knew I needed to make a transition. So I took advantage of an opportunity a little over a year ago, right about the time that Carol and I were getting acquainted. I was gearing up to enroll in 15-month internship and residency at the Greenville Hospital System in clinical pastoral education, which is the certification you must have to become a professional chaplain. And I don't know that I will become a professional chaplain, but I've been connected to chaplaincy since the very beginning of my Christian experience. It was largely through the influence of an Air Force chaplain that there was a revival going on at our Air Force base in Thailand, where I got saved. And then I was very much involved in chaplaincy, thought about going back into the military chaplaincy, but did get the request from the chief of the police here in Greenville to become the chaplain of the Greenville Police Department, where I served for 27 years as a volunteer, and then became the endorser for chaplains for the FBFI, and worked together with 60 or so guys who were military, law enforcement, community, and hospital chaplains. Wrote my doctoral dissertation on chaplaincy, wrote a book on police chaplaincy called Courage and Compassion, The Ministry of Law Enforcement, and I have sketched out three other books on chaplaincy, one for community chaplains like EMS chaplains, fire service chaplains. I want to call that one, my working title is Running to the Problem. And then I want to do one for military, but for hospital chaplains, and then the concept of chaplaincy in general. And so I want to work on some of those things, and I believe that is a little route that the Lord has opened up for me, and that's one of the reasons I want to get involved in this training program. I have two more months where I'm doing this, and it's a very arduous schedule, 8:30 to 5, 5 days a week, one on-call shift, either overnight or weekend day, a week, basically. And so we'll have that all buttoned up at the end of August, and then Carol and I are going to get back on a ministry trip. We haven't really done very many of those yet. We did spend 2 weeks in that hotel room right there on the fifth floor after we got married while they were remodeling our house. The dishwasher overflowed, ruined the floor. That turned into a complete remodel of the house. You know how that works. But we call that a sequence. We've been caught in a sequence. Everything's connected. But at any rate, when we're all finished, then we're heading out across the Pacific. We're going to minister some on the West Coast and then out to churches, Lord willing, on the Big Island where the volcano is in Hawaii, and from there to Guam, and from there to Sydney. And then we'll reverse it and come back. And then we have other ministry invitations and places that we will probably go to. And I've been doing that kind of thing for many, many years, and we're going to do some of that together. But we still want to stay active in the ministry, and we want to be a blessing and a help to others as a ministry couple who lost our life partners to ravaging disease. That is a message that God has given us, and that's part of our ongoing story. For several years now, I've been telling my story up to that point where everything changed. And like the fellow said a while ago, or someone mentioned about this pastor who thought, well, it's all over. I was kind of going through a period like that as well. And it was sermon audio that kept me in the ministry. It really was, because I thought, I'm hearing from people and folks that are listening and lives have been changed and they want follow-up questions and things like that. And I get those kinds of things as well. And I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to have that exposure. It really is an amazing, amazing thing. And who knows what the future might hold with what you're doing here today, teaching and counseling and all the potential of those kinds of things that could be done and probably is being done somewhere by someone. And you folks are just outstanding with that. But this thing I want to give you in the next few minutes is that you're not just providing technology. You're providing a philosophy. And that philosophy is the fruit of your lives. And I don't want to embarrass Stephen, but it flows from him. It flows from his character, and it flows from his life. Principles and practices are all rooted in character. And when a person's character is shaped by and expressed in the principles that he communicates, his practices develop. Sermon audio, all developed around a burden, not just to use technology, but to communicate something about life and about ministry and the way it should be lived. And Stephen is a wonderful example of that. And he has gathered around him here a team of people who exemplify that as well. And I'm not just here to flatter you. I'm saying that that is a key component of sermon audio because it's a key component of your lives. In Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to have to just kind of quote some of these because I don't want to take the time to go through all that. The things that ye have heard and seen in me, do, Paul said. Wow, what a testimony. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. There's a lot of people that would love to say, follow me. On what terms? A lot of people today want to be leaders, and they've picked up the business model of servant leadership, which basically says you be a servant so that you can get to be a leader. But the biblical model of servant leadership teaches that serving is leading. And when you follow Christ, you're focused on being a follower and not a leader. Be you followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. That is the great qualification for anyone who wants to be a Christian leader, a minister, a servant of God will serve the people. Look at Christ, how he came to this earth, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. That's the whole gospel message. And therefore, it's our message. In all things, we're to do these things. We are to follow his example and do what we should. In 1896, there was a pastor of a church in Topeka, Kansas, who grasped this idea and began to communicate it to his people. No electronic media in those days, but it's all available to us today. He developed a series of sermons on this theme, and he would read one of those sermons each Sunday night to his congregation. And it was so life-changing for that congregation that it began to spread to other areas. And the first sweeping movement of humbly following the Lord in daily practical living that flowed out of those sermons took place at the end of the 19th century. 100 years later, there was another sweeping movement. But through technology and modern marketing, it became a fad instead of truly a life-changing series of principles. I'm talking about Pastor Charles M. Sheldon's book, In His Steps, from which the What Would Jesus Do movement of the 90s was revived. It impacted me in a wonderful way. It was shortly after the fire that we had in our home in 1978. My family members who were injured were still at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, where my late wife would spend 7 months. Becky was only there for about 10 days before she was transferred to the Shriners Burns Institute, which was an experimental hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio. But while we were there, the Lord opened up an opportunity of ministry to another family whose marriage had almost ended. One of their children was severely injured. And they were watching me from the shadows as I was ministering to Becky, 2 years old. And I would softly quote scripture to her and sing to her and try to encourage her, not knowing if she would live or die. And this couple came to me and wanted to talk. And they had been estranged and fighting, and the challenge that came to them was to focus on what really mattered. And we talked to them about the Lord, and things were cleaned up there, and they got established. And then they invited me to join their larger family got everybody together in a room there in the hospital. And we had a church service one Sunday for all of them. And we saw some revival taking place in that place. And there was an older lady who was there who wanted to be a blessing to us. And she had purchased a book that she was going to give to me. But then something happened. She was the hostess who was housing all these people in her home while they were there with their child. And she died suddenly. And so here we were for this meeting, which she sort of put together. And it was a time of dedication and grief and gladness for the loss of this precious lady. And they gave me this book. And I'd never read it, had no idea of its existence. And it was Charles M. Sheldon's book, In His Steps. And it changed my life. I read it, I reread it, I've read it over and again. And I preached on it to our church. And it wasn't just an emphasis on the fad. We weren't so much focused on buying the bracelet and going around and doing the whole external thing, but of really stopping and thinking. In this situation, what am I going to say in response to this person? How am I going to act when I'm treated a certain way? And if I can have that conscious thought in this situation, truly, honestly, what would Jesus do? Now, some people think it's presumptuous to ask that question. What makes you think that you know what Jesus would do? Because he gave us a wealth of information in the principles that he taught and a wealth of examples in the practices in his own life that were the expressions of those principles. He turned the other cheek. He walked the other mile. He lost sleep. He didn't eat. He did whatever he needed to do to meet the needs of others. And finally, his whole earthly mission came to its culmination at the death, burial, and resurrection, which was the whole purpose of his incarnation. And then he told us to take up our cross. And by the way, when he said that to the disciples, take up your cross and follow me, his own cross was yet in the future. It was his message he came to preach. That's what Jesus would do. He'd get on the cross and die. I've told that to husbands who are so angry and frustrated with their wives they can't have any kind of a relationship or even a conversation. And I take them to Ephesians 5 and it says, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself to it. They'll say to me in frustration, so what do you want me to do? And I say, it's not what I want you to do, it's what Jesus wants you to do. All right, what does Jesus want me to do? He wants you to get on the cross and die for your wife. Do you believe that's true? It's what the Bible teaches. We are to say no to our desires, no to our ambitions, and yes to making whatever sacrifices are necessary to do what Jesus would do in our relationships with other people. Now the Lord has given us an opportunity to do that with each other and to take that message to other people. It's like a new life. It really is. A new beginning. I have no idea how many days we'll have, how many years we'll have, how many breaths we'll draw. But we don't want to waste any of them. We want to serve the Lord together. Sermon audio has been a big part of that. And I want to take advantage of every opportunity that I have to share this message that I'm giving you today with anybody who happens to find it on your site. And it surprises me how many people get there and how the word spreads and how something will take off and how people communicate with each other. And I watch the numbers and I think, wow, I had no idea. That Tell Your Story video that you put up there, it's just cooking along, and I'm so thankful for this. You know, you say, is this really something that we should be doing? I think it is. I think it is. And why do I think it is? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. That verse is where Sheldon took the title of his book, In His Steps. Even hereunto were ye called. That's a calling from God for each of us to live that way and to teach each other those things. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for what God has done, my life and our lives, your lives, and the lives of others through learning these principles of following in his steps. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you. I'm so thankful for what you're doing and looking forward to sharing more of this excitement that and all the technical things that you're involved in. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here with you. I'm thankful that Carol could be here with me and share a little bit of our hearts. You are an amazing bunch of people. You really are. God bless you and use you.